Start turning towards the New Testament. You'll find a small book called the Book of Micah. The prophet Micah was just an ordinary man. He was a layman in one sense, but God raised him up to be a prophet to the nations of Israel and to the nation of Judah when they were a divided kingdom. In the book of Micah, it was a time where there was a lot of immorality. There was a lot of time, there was a time of great social injustice. And there was a lot of oppression to the poor. And God raised up a voice by the name of Micah to prophesy to the nation. Even in the church, they were conducting religious activities, but they were neglecting the most important thing. And God was speaking to the nation, listen, I'm not concerned about your sacrifice. I'm not concerned about all your offerings. And he begins to say in this verse, and this is where we're ministering out of Micah 6:8, the Lord is bringing an accusation to the nation. And I believe that just like he spoke to the children of Israel in that day, I believe that God is speaking to America today, because many of the same sins that were prevalent in Israel and Judah in that day are often prevalent right now in America. And God begins to tell him, he said, he has shown you, O man, and what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. 2 weeks ago, I ministered on what it means to do justly. You know, in a world where there's such inequality and unfairness, how many know the church should be the stabilizing force? We're called to show fairness and equity in a world where there's not always fairness and equity. And so I shared with you three things that we need to do justly. First of all, it requires that we speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. The book of Proverbs says this way: speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs 31:8. Ensure justice for those who are being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor, the helpless, and see that they get justice. Secondly, we say that justice is not just us speaking up, but justice requires action. Just as God says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, he defends the cause of the fatherless, the widow, and he loves the alien, the immigrant, and giving them food and clothing. You know, that's what you and I have been commissioned to do in a time where there's injustice. How many know we're called to demonstrate what it means to do justice? We're called to defend the cause of the fathers. We're called to defend the cause. We're called to get involved when people are hungry to do something about it. Amen. How many know if we just talk about it, how many know that is not doing justice? But justice requires that we do action. And lastly, we said that justice is not an event, but it's an ongoing action. How many of you know it requires that we be continually caring for and working to ensure that there's fairness and equality? Well, this morning I want to look at that second aspect. And I want to talk about the subject of showing mercy. He said not only are we to do justice, but he said we're to show mercy. Let's define what mercy means. Mercy means to show loving kindness. It means to show compassion. It means to show pity. You know, one of the natures or the character of God is God always defined himself as the God of all mercy, the God who full of loving kindness and tender mercies. I don't know about you, but how many are glad that we have a merciful God? How many are glad that he didn't give us what we deserve? Can I have an amen? And because he is a merciful God, he has commanded you and I to show mercy. Let me just tell you, we are right now living in the midst of a pandemic that has claimed over 125,000 lives. Right now, there's over 2.5 million people right now in our country who have the virus, many in the hospitals, many on ventilators. In the midst of a pandemic, I want you to know one of the calls of God is for you and I as God's people that's being divided racially. In the midst of a country that sometimes seemingly that is being torn apart at the seams, how many know God wants us to demonstrate mercy? I was reading the story before this morning of Nelson Mandela. Many of you know Nelson Mandela was elected after serving 27 years in prison fighting for freedom. He was elected to be the president of South Africa. And many whites feared because for the last, under apartheid, South Africa was brutal and how it treated those who were non-whites. And so many feared retribution. They feared retaliation. They feared revenge. But I just want to read a quote from Nelson Mandela. He said, you will achieve more through acts of mercy than through retribution. And you know what? He won the favor of the nation because instead of doing acts of retribution, he demonstrated mercy. He invited the very prison guards who had often treated him harshly, often treated him unjust. He invited them to the president's palace and had lunch and had meal with them. How many of you thank God for mercy? Come on, thank God for mercy. And so I want to talk to you this morning on the importance of how to show mercy. Jesus said, if you really want to be happy, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want you to know one of the keys to you and I living a happy, a fulfilled, a blessed life is learning to show mercy. And so how do we show mercy? How do we demonstrate mercy in a world where it seems like mercy is sometimes missing? And it seems like there's a void today. How many know the beginning of you and I showing mercy is to remember that we have been shown mercy. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, Jesus demonstrates to us what it means to show mercy. In Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times 7, or 77 times, or whatever verse you read. Therefore, he goes on to say, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began the settlement, and a man owed 10,000 talents. If you're looking at the footnotes of some of your Bible, that would be the equivalent of about $1 million. He owed a debt of $1 million. And listen, and the man who owed a million dollar debt was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. But the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant master took pity on him, and he canceled the debt and let him go. How many know that's the picture of God? Every one of us in this room, we owed a debt we could never pay. Every one of us did things you could never earn, you could never merit the mercy of God. I don't know about you. I love the fact that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Aren't you glad that God's mercies never run out? It'll never run out. Let me tell you, as long as you and I live in this earth, we are in need of the mercy of God. We can never merit his favor. We can never merit his love or his kindness. But how many of you know, aren't you glad that he's a merciful God? And he forgave the debt. Aren't you glad that God, you and I owed a debt we could not pay? We needed somebody to pay the price. And how many of you know that's what Jesus did? He paid a debt he did not owe. And today you and I are forgiven. Today you and I are free. Today we're saved not because of what we did, but because of what he did. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Come on, let's thank God for the mercy of God. But it goes on to say, listen, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed 100 denarii. That in today's economy, that would be just a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him and began to choke him. pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant likewise fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But listen, but he refused. Instead, he went off, had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told the master everything that happened. Then the master called all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had on you? We know the rest of the story. The Bible says, and God turned him over the tormentors to be tormented until he could pay back the whole debt. I want you to know, Jesus goes on to say, if we will not forgive people from our hearts, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. And I want you to know, in a world where everybody's demanding retribution, in a world where everybody want to get back, in a world where everybody want revenge, how many know God needs to see a people in the earth who will have mercy? Can I have amen? How many know we need to show mercy? A week ago, many of you may have heard the story. How many of you heard the story of Dylan McClee? Anybody heard the story of Dylan McClee? Some of you heard it. Dylan McClee was a young African-American man who had been wrongly arrested not once but several times. Spent a whole year in jail because of being wrongly accused and arrested falsely. About 2 weeks ago, a policeman was in an automobile accident, a white policeman. And his car began to burn. And because the policeman was injured severely, he could not get out of the car. Dylan McClee ran over, tore the door off, and rescued the policeman. The very people who had sometimes perpetrated unjust acts towards him, he rescued him, brought him to safety. And everybody, when they began to look at the story and look over Dylan's life and say, well, why did you do that, Dylan? Why did you act that way? Why did you rescue that policeman? He said, I could not stay there and let him die. He went on to say, because he's my brother in Christ. Because he received mercy, he gave mercy. Come on, let's thank God for mercy. And I want you to know, because we've all received mercy, we need to give mercy. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together. For by grace you are saved. I don't know about you, but that's a reason to shout right there. Listen, if God didn't do anything else, if you're today, you're saved, and you've been washed by the blood, you got a reason to shout. You got a reason to praise him. Thank God for the mercy of God. Oh, I want you to know, I'll never get tired of talking about and singing about the mercy of God. It's his mercies that are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. The reason why we're commanded to give mercy is because we've received mercy. Titus 2:5 says it this way, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know, if you and I are going to be a people who show mercy, we got to remember that we've been given mercy. I want you to, you need to remind yourself every day. The Bible, the reason why his mercies are new every morning, because God wants you to be reminded every morning that you are a recipient of mercy. And I want you to know that therefore, because we receive mercy, we need to give mercy. Can I have an amen? We'll treat our parents better. How many of some of you just need a little bit of mercy? Can I have an amen? Sometimes we forget how we've been treated. When we've been given mercy, we'll be more patient with the cash register, with the cashier. We'll be more patient when people get our order right, when they get it wrong. Can I have an amen? When we learn to be merciful. And God says, blessed are you when you're merciful, and you'll be shown mercy. I don't know about you, because I need mercy. I choose mercy. Look at somebody and say, you got to choose mercy. Secondly, if you and I are going to learn to show mercy, we must be willing to sympathize with others. We don't often understand what that word means, but listen, the word sympathy means, it comes from the Greek word, it means to suffer with. It means to feel another's pain. Mercy is a willingness to sympathize with others' weaknesses. When we listen to, and when we read verses about Jesus, we see Jesus is a picture of one who sympathized with us. In other words, he didn't just stay in heaven and try to figure out how we act and what we go through, but he came down, he wrapped himself in flesh. He knew what it's like to feel hunger. He knew what it's like to feel injustice. He knew what it's like to be spit on. He knew what it's like to experience pain. He felt everything that you and I felt so that he could be a merciful high priest. Aren't you glad we got a merciful high priest? That's why the Bible says, let us come to the throne room of mercy. I don't know about you. The throne is called the throne of mercy because we need mercy. And the Bible said we can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy because we have a merciful high priest. Listen to what it says of Jesus in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Because he felt our pain, because he experienced our suffering. I want you to know, listen to what it says. But we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. I want you to know, Jesus knew what it's like to get tired. Jesus knew what it's like to deal with haters. Jesus, he wrapped himself in flesh and he experienced every human limitation just like you and I so that he can be a merciful high priest. Mercy means the ability to get right inside the other person's skin so that we can see things with their eyes, think with their mind, and feel with their feeling. That's what Jesus did. In Hebrews 2, verse 17, it says, for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we got a merciful God. We got a merciful priest. We got one who understands our pain. Let me just tell you, for some people, mercy comes easy. I have a daughter, and that's her weakness. She's too merciful. Can you be that way? Yes, you can. You need balance. My wife said I'm number two. But how many, we need balance because listen to, but for some people, they don't have a merciful bone in their body. I shouldn't say it that way. For some people, mercy comes difficult. Can I have it? Anybody? That's not your strong strength. Because some people, mercy is a gift. But for others, we have to work at it. Anybody got to work at mercy? Anybody got to work at it? You got to work at it. You got to work at it. Some of us have to work at it. But let me just tell you, how do you work at mercy? The book of Ezekiel gives us a picture. Let me just tell you, you'll never experience or learn to have mercy until you put yourself in other people's shoes. Until you're willing to, that's what I love about what's happening right now with all the dialogue over the racism and racial injustice. We're having whites and blacks sit at the table and have dialogue and seek to understand one another. Because how many of you know, that's where mercy your eyes. Until I'm willing to understand what you've experienced, I can't show mercy like I should. And that's what's happening today. That's why I believe that, listen, God is about to do something great in this country. I believe that God is about to bring breakthrough. I don't know about you. We ought to shout because God is at work. I want you to know the news media is not telling you this side of it, but God is in the midst of it. God is working it out. And I want you to know what the devil has meant for evil, God's going to turn it around. I want you to know he's working in our favor. God's going to bring healing to our nation. And so I want you to know, you need not be the voice of retribution. You need to be the voice of mercy. Can I have an amen? I'm going to say that again. We need to determine that we're going to be on God's side, because God is on the side of mercy. I want to be on the side of God. For those of you that struggle with mercy, let me give you an example. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, many of you know Ezekiel was a prophet, and God wanted him to be able to understand the people he was going to prophesy to. So the Bible says he was caught up by the Spirit, and God brought him to where the people who were in exile, the very people he was going to prophesy to, and God allowed him to sit there with them for 7 days. Listen, I want to read it. It begins to say, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, say, I came to the exiles who lived in Tel Aviv near the Kibar River, and there were they, listen, and there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. In other words, you know why Ezekiel was able to speak into their lives? You know why he was able to prophesy? Because he was first willing to sit where they sit. And I want you to know, until you're willing to sit where people sit, you know, there's an Indian proverb that says, don't criticize a man until you walk a mile in his shoes. Well, I want you to know, that's if you and I are going to learn how to sympathize with people, it's so easy to be critical. That's why, listen to me, New Wine, listen to those who watching via social media. I want you to know, social media can be a powerful tool, but unfortunately, many people have used it to cause discord, to create hate, to create division. And I want you to know, so often we can say things because we've never even sat or being willing to hear the other side. I want you to know, until you sit where people sit, the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. Until you're willing to sit where they sit, until you're willing to understand and see through their eyes and feel what they feel, the best thing we could do is reserve comment. Because I want you to know, real mercy is learning how to sympathize with others, learning how to understand their pain, learning how to sit where they sit. And I believe that if we're going to be people of mercy, you can't be merciful and sit in the comfort of your little house and expect to be merciful. You got to go where people are. If you're going to develop mercy, you got to be willing to come alongside and say, can I hear? Help me understand from your side. And that's why I'm hopeful. That's why I'm grateful for what's happening right now. Because there's never been more dialogue that's going on right now in our country. Because people are willing for the first time to sit together. It's amazing. I've been invited several times. This Tuesday, I'm invited once again to sit with some white pastors, me and some black pastors, so we can sit down and help understand, not just understand, but where we can take some action and how we can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Come on, somebody give God some praise, for because God is moving. I'm telling you, he's working. I've never been more hopeful. I've never been more confident that God is about to do something, because people are learning how to sit down and hear one another and sympathize with one another. Let me just tell you, those of you who've been shown mercy and experienced mercy, you know what? Then you are God's candidate to demonstrate mercy. Right now, because our world is so at odds with one another, so full of vile and hate, and sometimes I get discouraged just listening to and watching some of the news and whatever, because they're not going to report the good news. They want to report how bad things are. But we need to be people of light and not of darkness, and we need to show the world what it means to be merciful in a world where there's not mercy. Come on, somebody say amen. And lastly, as I prepare to close, and here's the most important part, because showing mercy is more than just remembering that we've received mercy. Secondly, being merciful is more than just being sympathetic, because if you have sympathy and don't do nothing about it, you're really not showing mercy, because mercy is more than a feeling. Look at somebody and say, it's more than a feeling. It's an action. Mercy is an action word. Mercy is not only a feeling of entering into a person's suffering, but it's a willingness to act and do something about it. It's like Dylan McClee. He saw that man in that car on fire. He didn't just say, oh, I feel sorry for that police. No, but he did something about it. He ran across the street and he pulled the door off and he rescued the man. Come on, somebody thank God that mercy is an action. 3 verse 17 and 18. And so I want to share this. 1 John chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. This is one of the first, when I preached out of this verse, one of the first sermons I've ever preached when I first felt the call of God, I preached this verse right here. 1 John chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. This is what it says. If anyone has material possessions. Let me just stop right there. How many of you have some material possessions? Raise your hand. How many of you are online watching? You know, God has been good to you. God has blessed you. God has met your need. Come on, anybody, if you've got material possessions, raise your hand. Some of you ain't raising. How many of you got, God has blessed you with something. You got something. You might not be able to do everything, but you could do something. And so he's writing to you and I, especially us who live in the West, who live in America. This is what he said. If anyone has material possessions and he sees his brother in need but has no pity on him. I like the way it says in the King James, shut up his bowels of compassion. I preached a message years ago. I said, we got too many people who are constipated. Spiritual constipation was the title. Their bowels been shut up. Mercy comes from the deep parts of a person's life. In the writers of the Old Testament described it the bowels of a person's life, the deep inner parts of our lives, and therefore it's called the bowels of mercy. And God, it says, if we see a person in need and we have no pity, we shut up our bowels of compassion. Then he goes on to say, then how can the love of God be in him? God is asking you and I a question. He's saying, if you got material needs, and all of you raise your hand saying you got something, and you begin to see people in need. You go in the grocery store and you see people struggling. You don't have to go far. You got neighbors who are struggling. Right now, there's a whole lot of people who are hurting right now. There's a whole lot of people who are having difficulty right now, laid off. At least one out of every four people in America are out of work or either laid off. So there's a whole lot of people right now in need. I was watching the news this past week, and I'm just going to tell you why I believe that God has helped us to get debt free so that we can help others. Right now in Louisiana, not America, right now in Louisiana, I heard this past week on the news, over 100,000 people are in danger of being evicted or being homeless because they can't pay their rent. We have a crisis, y'all. And if we just look at them and say, just be warm and be filled and don't do nothing about it, God's going to say, how can we really have the love of God? He goes on to say, dear children, let us not love with words only, or word or tongue, but with action and in truth. Say action. Mercy is an action word. Mercy demands that we do something about it. Mercy is not a feeling. It's an action. Listen, if I'm going to show mercy, I got to do something. I don't have to wait on a feeling. Sometimes I've responded to people. Listen, and this is to help some people, because sometimes, you know, not everybody that have a request is legit. That's right. Absolutely. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I often tell my wife, I'd rather err on the side of mercy than on the side of judgment. Recently, this young man, I know he walks around this community, and I was parked in front of PJ's getting ready to go in and get me a sunrise muffin. I don't drink coffee, so don't get me a coffee. But I was going to get a sunrise muffin. And he comes up to the car. You know how people, you know, they come up the screen, and he comes up, and at first they're like, now what you want? I know he wanted something. And he just said, well, how you doing, Pastor Bernard? I said, I'm doing good. I said, so how you doing? He said, I'm doing all right. I said, everything's going okay. He said, it's okay. And he proceeded to walk away. How many of you know the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost wouldn't let me go. He said, I want you to do something for that young man. So I called him. I said, hey, come on back. He had a smile from ear to ear. I can't always control what people do, but I have to respond to the prompt of the Holy Spirit. God said, I want you to go do that. Listen to me. Go buy you some breakfast. Go treat yourself. And I want you to know that, listen to me, we can never go wrong doing right. Now, if he chose to go buy alcohol, if he chose to go buy something, that's between him and God. But our job is to show mercy. Can I have an amen? Our job is to be merciful. And sometimes we don't want to show mercy because we say, well, all they're going to do is just waste it. All they're going to do is buy drugs. No, listen to me. You never know where people are. You never know. And you got to listen to the prompt of the Holy Spirit. God says, if you see a brother in need and you got the means to help and you don't do anything about it, then God says, how can the love of God be in you? I want to read this last verse as I close. May you know the story of the Good Samaritan. I preached it 2 weeks ago. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. Listen, he didn't ask the man why you got beat. He didn't ask the man, well, you got what you deserve. Remember, the priest saw him and passed by on the other side. The priest said, yeah, listen, oh, yeah, that's that same one. He been messing with everybody. He got what he deserved. The Levite saw him, and he, too, passed on the other side. But the Bible says a certain Samaritan, when he saw him, he took pity on him. That's the word. He had mercy on him. Listen, he went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, took care of him, and the next day took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any expense you may have. Jesus asked the question, which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him and said, go and do likewise. I want you to know there's coming a day where the Bible says we're going to stand before God, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goat, and he's going to say, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Right now, I'm looking at how we can build a shelter here. I realize that we got a shower for a crisis. I think people are going to need a shelter. We got a 60,000 square foot building. We got showers. We got spaces. I'm just giving my maintenance people a heads up. We're going to build a shelter there. Mike, you and I, we're going to go down to New Orleans Mission. We're going to see how they run there, because we're going to need a shelter. I need somebody who have a heart. You might not have a job. I'm going to need somebody to run a shelter. I got somebody willing to run a shelter for me. You, Slim, you're going to run a shelter for us. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you. We're going to need to run a shelter. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, when I was a stranger, you took me in. He goes on to say, when I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison. He didn't say why they was in prison, why they were sick, why they were hungry, why they were. What? He said, no, they did something about it. Listen, he said, then the righteous is going to say, God, when did we see you? When you was in front of PJ's Coffee. And I was in need of breakfast. He said, when you did it to the least of these, You've did it to me. I want to close in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are truly living in a perilous time as a nation. We're living, Lord, in times that are unprecedented. Our nation has never faced anything like this in the last 100 years. God, there's such anger, there's such demand for retribution, revenge. But God, your word tells us, you've shown us what is good and what the Lord requires, and that is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. God, this morning we looked at what it means to show mercy. You said, Lord, when we show mercy, we're responding the way you would respond. For you said, be merciful just as our Father is merciful. And so, Father, I pray that this morning that every one of us will look over our lives and ask the question, God, how can I show mercy? How can I develop more mercy in my life? Lord, who are the people that you would have me to demonstrate and show mercy? It starts by remembering that you know that here, if you're here today or you're watching by video, I want you to know that here's the good news. All of us have sinned. All of us deserve judgment. All of us deserve to be punished because of our wrongdoing. But this is the good news, that while you were dead in your sin, while you were in the club, while you were in an adulterous bed, while you were hooked up on drugs, listen what God did. The Bible says when you needed mercy and you didn't deserve it, God died for you so that you and I can be forgiven. Today, if you're here and you need mercy, if you've never invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, none of us can point a finger, none of us can throw a stone, because all of us are guilty. All of us in need of mercy. And the beginning of mercy is remembering we've received mercy. If you're watching today and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord and the master of your life, then say this prayer. Let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me when I was dead in my own sins. Because of your great mercy, you died for me. You was buried, and on the third day, you rose from the grave. You're now the Lord of Lords. You're the King of Kings. Jesus, forgive me today. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. I receive your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, whether you're here, whether you're watching online, would you just say in the chat today, I've asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Would you send us a message? Let us know. We want to pray with you. We want to follow up with you. The rest of you, I want to just pray as we close this morning. I want to pray. Listen, I want New Wine to be known as a church full of mercy. I want us to be known as a place that we are a place where you can have a second chance. That we are a place that instead of throwing judgment, instead of giving retribution, we want to give mercy. How many of you want that to be? You want that? You want us to be known as a mercy? Just stand on your feet as we close to dismiss. God bless you. God bless.